And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a mother-daughter knitting production. This is episode 60 and has been sponsored by Pearlescence Yarns. This week's segments include
events
on the needles,
mother knows best,
when
knitting attacks,
straw into gold,
and a review.
Come on, let's chat. Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening, welcome to the podcast. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. So let's get some events out of the way, or let's talk about some upcoming events. We will be attending the Sock Summit in Portland, Oregon, from August 6th through 9th. We're going to be doing a meet and greet, but we will be there in a podcast capacity. So come talk to us. Come say hello. It's fun. Let's meet. I have hot pink hair if you're a new listener. And if you will be attending the Sock Summit, please do come say hello. I'm pretty easy to find, and Mom's usually not far behind. Other than that, the other event we will be going to in the near future, we will be attending the Monterey Wool Auction in Monterey, California. It's at their county fairgrounds, and that is Sunday, August 16th, and the auction itself is at 12:30 p.m., but you can get in and start looking at fleeces, I think, as early as 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did last year is we drove up pretty early, and we got there by like 10:30. We parked, and we took the shuttle back to the fairgrounds, and had a great day.
Yep.
I recommend bringing sunscreen, wearing sunscreen, and dressing in layers because this is Monterey. So,
and there is great fair food.
There is. Funnel cakes are one of my favorite things to eat at fairs. And last year I tried a deep fried Snickers bar. I actually found it more delicious than regular Snickers bars. So yeah, do join us. Come and say hello. We love meeting listeners. And if we have swag in our purses or on our persons, let us know and we'll throw some at you. It's fun.
Yes, it is.
All right, let's talk about some knitting. So, Mom, what are you working on this week?
Well, I'm working on a ruffled roses scarf. It's an Annie Modesset pattern that I've kind of modified.
Uh-huh.
I took some of the lace work out and made it easier.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll post pictures later.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be swatching a new sweater.
Okay, which one?
It's the Origami Pullover.
Uh-huh.
From Frog Tree Alpaca Collection. And it's, Origami Pullover FT-66.
Ah, yes. Thank you for making it easy for me to find for the show notes.
You're most welcome. And I tried the original on at Pearlescence the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked it.
Terrific.
Yep. What are you doing?
I am addicted to lace. So Megan and I did the throwdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where she told me if I cleaned and combed 4 pounds of fiber on my own, that she would knit a lace shawl. So she started the lace throwdown, and I decided, you know, I can do the fiber processing, and I can also, you know, pick up an old lace project that I put down. Now, I know I talked about the Adamas shawl last week. Adamas shawl. Pardon me. I cast it on during the last season of Battlestar Galactica, and I was joking with Andrew by calling it my Adamas shawl because the Admiral's name is Adama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm really clever like that. Never mind that it's based on diamonds and things like that. That's where the name comes from. But anyway, so for some reason I put the shawl down, and I cannot fathom what that reason is at this point. Because every time I work on it, I want to work through a full repeat before I put it down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not one of those patterns where if you don't work through a whole repeat, you won't be able to find your place.
Okay.
So I'm just, it is. It's so addictive. It's so fun to work on. And the color, so I'm knitting it out of the Webb's Coleraine lace, and I bought it at Stitches 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a really nice lace yarn. It's Merino and Tencel, so it's got a lot of shine, but it's got bounce to it and, you know, it kind of resembles a cephalopod.
What?
Like an octopus. Because it's all wrinkly and crinkly, and it's a weird color.
Okay.
Because it hasn't been blocked yet.
Oh, well, yeah.
But I have a feeling that the Merino Tencel is going to block beautifully. And our friend Ursula knit the same shawl, the Adamas shawl, mm-hmm. out of the blue Col Rain Lace. I think I'm using a color called Grape Jelly. It says it's grape jelly. It's not purple to me. It's like a wine red to me.
Much more delicious.
Much more delicious. But so I'm really enjoying working on that. And I'm finding myself not really working on a whole lot else. I mean, I've got a couple of small things I've been working on, and mm-hmm. we'll talk about that later. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm really enjoying it. What is so good about lace? Why is it so much fun?
Arr. I don't know.
But I'm really enjoying it, is the long and the short of it. So what else are you working on?
I'm on the last inch of my second Coriolis sock.
Yay!
So that should be finished this week.
Did something turn up in your stash, perhaps?
Yeah, I was digging through stuff today. What was I looking for? I was looking for something. And I found my second skein of Franklin's Panopticon. Mm-hmm. So I can finish my pair of par fives.
Yay!
Yay! Yeah, that was good.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So before we talk about what else you wanted to work on this week, we should move into the next segment where it's directly relevant.
Very good. And now seems a good time for Mother Knows Best. So, what do you do when you have yarn or fleece and you don't like it? You kill it! You dye it.
That's pretty close. So let's talk about, why don't you talk about the yarn that you got and then what we've done with it and what it's going to end up being.
Okay. That was rather circuitous, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So I got some very nice silk tweed yarn at a yarn swap. Mm-hmm. And it's nice yarn, but it's baby blue.
Uh-huh.
And while baby blue looks lovely on people who have fair complexion mm-hmm. and light hair.
Yeah.
I look totally washed out in it.
Okay.
I can't do baby blue.
Yeah.
So we threw it in a dye pot, mm-hmm. and it turned out a very uneven reddish pink, pinkish red.
Now, it wasn't in the dye pot alone. It's worth mentioning that it was sharing a dye pot with some roving, and there wasn't, I don't think there's enough dye in the pot.
So what happened is the other stuff sucked up all the dye and hogged it, and my poor wool mm-hmm. was polite and modest and got the short end of the dye lot.
Pretty much.
Mm, yeah. Well,
so what color did it turn out?
It's not baby blue anymore, which is good, but it's a pinkish red. Mm-hmm. And while I love pink and red, it's neither pink and it's not pink enough or red enough, or it's okay. Kind of anemic.
So where is it going? What's going to happen to this?
We are going to make it dye it. Over-dye it.
Yeah. So what color do you want it to end up being?
Maybe something that is mostly black. Mm-hmm. The last color you dyed that I really liked was that lovely eggplanty color. Mm-hmm. And it seems I'm working with a lot of over-dyed stuff. You picked up the Purple Rain.
Yeah.
For me, and that is purple with kind of black over dye.
Mm-hmm. It's really very like luminous. That. Yeah.
It's what?
It's very luminous.
Yes. So something like that.
Okay. That works.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So we were doing some dyeing earlier this week. I talked last week about how we dyed Erin's roving from kind of a boring paper bag brown to a sort of lovely dark blood red.
So, yes. Yeah. Oh, that was the one I tried to steal last week.
That was the one you tried to steal last week. So this week we've improved on it, and we did a pot of teal, which turned out a little bit anemic. But the best thing is when you've dyed something, you can dye it again. If it turns out wrong, you can't make it lighter.
Dye your wool.
Something like that.
Yep.
But you can't make it lighter, but you can always make it darker. And you can always add depth and add color. And I've found that when we toss stuff in the pot the second time, mm-hmm. it's always more interesting than it came out the first time.
Yes.
So we ended up with a beautiful eggplant color with the pink over the brown, which was a rousing failure, which is okay, though, because it gives you the opportunity to try something different.
What wasn't good?
So we started with a paper bag brown fiber base, and we dropped it in a pot.
It was boring.
It was. I dropped it in a pot of hydrangea dye from Gay Wool, and hydrangea ended up being, we tossed just a little, like a hand's length of white raw fiber, or not white raw fiber, but white roving into the pot with it to soak up the real color, to show like this is the color we put in the pot, and this is what color the other stuff ended up. And it was this hot, hot, hot pink. And over the brown, it was just boring and flat, and it wasn't, and I like pink, and it was not, it was not enough.
Okay.
So I turned to Erin and said, well, you know, what color do you want to make this? And she'd wanted to do it in like a purple or an aubergine. And I said, okay, well, you know, let's see what we can do. And I went and I looked at my dye box, and I did not have, I don't have any purple dye, zero purple dye, but I do have a creativeness about me. So we looked through what I had, and I found a navy blue. And I thought, well, we can put navy blue over it, and that'll darken it up, and it'll blue it a little bit, and it'll be purplish. And it turned out...
spectacular.
A true eggplant, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So I'm really pleased with how that turned out. And she got a pound of roving, or half pound roving this week, so we tossed that in a pot, and instead of just doing a straight blue or a straight teal, we did half blue and half teal. And that turned out really interesting, too. So I'm really pleased with how it turned out. So we've been doing some dyeing, and when we're done recording, Mom and I will be tossing her silk that was formerly blue and now is kind of pinkish red into a pot of what color?
I don't know. What color are we doing?
Oh, that's a really good talk. We'll talk about that next week. So the moral of the story is, if you don't like it, dye it. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Pearlescence Yarns will be closed through Tuesday, July 7th. Once they reopen, look for great new products and a great big summertime sale July 10th through 13th. It's a perfect opportunity to stock up for holiday knitting. Whether you're planning big gifts or small projects, now is the time to start. Remember to mention that you're a Knit More Girls listener to get special swag with your order. They ship internationally, so give them a call.
When knitting attacks.
Well, I have no when knitting attacks this week because all of my attacking happened with spinning. So do tell, Mom.
Yeah, I've been working on the Scandinavian pattern socks from the little box of socks. And it's a perfect thing to take out for my half-hour lunch. And I worked on it Monday and then it disappeared.
Oh, no.
Yes, and this was the second time I've been working on it, and it's Fair Isle Knitting, and it has my Knit Picks wooden needles, and it wasn't in the car, and it wasn't in the other car, and I went through my knitting baskets and all the other places where it could have possibly landed, and it wasn't there.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I went to work and looked, and the bag of knitting had bailed out of my purse and jumped behind the waste paper bin. So I've got it back.
Oh, yay!
Yay. So I was a bit stressed.
Okay.
The sock gnomes attacked, but it's okay.
It turned out fine.
They were just messing with me.
Oh, thank goodness.
Now, yesterday's knitting attack was something totally different. So I've been working on my acrylic dishcloth blanket.
Yeah.
For somebody who we are hoping is...
We'll be expecting soon.
We'll be expecting soon, yes.
Not me.
No,
just for the record, not me.
And so Jasmine had a barbecue yesterday.
I did.
And it was a lot of fun, and we were sitting outside in the evening, marshmallowing...
Making s'mores.
S'mores. Well, I didn't want a s'more. I just wanted a...
Perfectly toasted marshmallow.
Perfectly toasted marshmallow. And those things are tricky.
They are.
And I grabbed hold of it and managed to grab it a little bit too hard, and some of it oozed out of the marshmallow and spattered on the ground. Well, that's not really a big problem.
Because we were out on the patio.
Yeah. And... problems happened when I dropped my ball of yarn.
Yes.
Right onto the puddle of melted marshmallow.
Yep.
And so I came in to wash it off, But I hadn't realized that I thought I had gotten it on the blankie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put the ball of yarn under my arm.
Oh.
Came in and washed the marshmallow goo off the yarn and off the blankie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed the inside of my arm was sticky too.
Ew.
And then I looked, and not only was the inside of my arm sticky, my chest was sticky too.
Oh no.
So, yeah. A half dollar size puddle of marshmallow goo on my shirt.
Nice.
And the more I washed, the more I noticed marshmallow goo in different places on my skin and on my blankie and on myself. So
this is actually why I don't make Rice Krispie treats, because it always ends up in my hair somehow. Totally not kidding.
Okay, yeah. So I think I found the last bit of marshmallow goo on the blankie this morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so happy 4th of July.
Excellent. I guess when you're not knitting can't attack you. Do you have anything else?
That's enough. That's
I think that's plenty for one
week.
Yeah. So yeah, remember to grill safely. And if you're doing marshmallows, remember that they're like napalm. They're hot and they stick. So be careful. Safety first. Awesome. So let's talk about Straw into Gold. I'd like to do an introduction for those of you who are non-spinners, just in case you might like to listen to the segment. This week we're going to talk about Tour de Fleece. We're going to talk about plying. And I'm going to do a review that's related to spinning. So come along for the ride. Well, let's talk about Tour de Fleece first. Join Team Spinmore. If you haven't joined Team Spinmore, you should. Our team is all about setting reasonable expectations and, you know, just having a good time. We're riding. We're spinning. For the pride of spinning. So, yeah. My Tour de Fleece project is I'm trying to ply up all of my unfinished stuff. And that's my whole thing, is that I just want to finish the stuff that's been resting on bobbins. For whatever reason it's been resting, I'm getting it to the point where I can actually ply it up, which is why I wanted to talk about plying this week. We actually had a listener ping me over Ravelry and ask about plying, which I thought was perfectly timed given my Tour de Fleece goal. I think this is really important because plying is the finishing on your spinning. So just like if you knit a great sweater and do a fabulous job on the knitting, but do a terrible job on the finishing, it's the same thing. You got to ply well. And it's really hard to learn because you have to spin stuff up to practice plying. But it's important to do, and I think it's good to just, it's okay to practice. You're not wasting stuff. You shouldn't feel like you shouldn't practice with the good stuff or any of that, you know?
It's important to practice to work with good equipment.
Mm-hmm.
If you're learning how to cook, you're not going to get good cutting skills with a dull knife.
Or with substandard quality produce.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So having said that, if you want to, what I really recommend doing is getting some nice roving that you would like to spin anyway. Because let's face it, this is the whole Jasmine 2009 thing, not saving stuff for the perfect or the right. We're not saving anything for the Pope.
Well, being frugal doesn't mean buying cheap, poor quality stuff. It means getting
a good
top value
yeah.
for your dollar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So to practice plying, I was going to talk about a couple of the things I do in order to get optimal finish. And these are all things I've learned taking classes. If my suggestions don't really jive with what you think is right, that's cool. Come talk about it on our podcast group. Because I love your feedback. These are just the things that work for me. And I've taken classes and I've read through books. So this is just what I've gleaned and what works for me. So having said that, let's start with talking about Lazy Kates. Now, I stand with Judith McKenzie on the naming of Lazy Kates. I think that they are clever and they should not be called Lazy Kates. They should be called Clever Kates.
Mm-hmm.
But in our house, it's been shortened to just the Kate. There are a bunch of different types of Kates out there. You can get the horizontal ones,
mm-hmm.
where the bobbins all sit, clearly, horizontally.
Mm-hmm.
And they have tensioned ones and all this other stuff. They also have the Kates that I like to use, which hold your bobbins at a 45-degree angle, which are not tensioned. And there's a third kind that I've seen where they hold your bobbins upright,
mm-hmm.
and you either pull to the side or they come up through a hole in the center. These are – I have a really beautiful one I bought that I thought would be the best Kate ever, mm-hmm. but just has turned out to be decorative in my house, which is okay too.
It's beautiful.
It is, and I do put up my singles on there in my living room as partly decoration and partly function. So having said that, my preference of the three, if you couldn't tell already, is it's a Kate that holds the bobbins at a 45-degree angle. And that means that it doesn't really need to be tensioned because you've got gravity working with you. You've got all this stuff. And it also has these brass rods that sit in holes, and it breaks down almost flat, mm-hmm. which I really like because if you're spinning on the go, it's so much easier to pack all your stuff together when it goes down mostly flat.
Yeah, that one is really easy to pack up and transport.
It is, and it holds three bobbins at a time, which is pretty standard for a Kate, I've noticed. And for me, because I do six ply yarns, mm-hmm. I can put them behind each other staggered just a little bit, and they all kind of it flows together, and that way when one bobbin runs out, I can replace it with the next one without having to interrupt the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So you have two of those smart angled Kates.
I do, and mm-hmm. I'll link to them in the show notes if I can find them on Morgaine's website, because I bought them from Morgaine at Carolina Homespun. I think they are the most clever Kate I have ever seen. I think they're great. They're a good value. I think mine were cherry, and I think I paid $55 or $60 for them. I do not like, and I'm going to say this, and it's going to cause controversy, I don't like boxes with knitting needles through them.
You don't like the shoebox Kates?
I do not like the shoebox Kates. I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like shoebox Kates.
Okay, tell us why.
Because if you have spent all this time spinning this yarn. Because not only that, but you don't need an expensive Kate. I'm not saying go out and buy the most crazy expensive Kate you can find. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you need the $55 or $60 cherry Kate. Mm-hmm. For me, it's more of a respect for what you're doing type of issue. If the best you can do is a shoebox Kate, then that's cool. Don't even worry about it. But seriously, if you can afford to buy a good Kate once. Because the whole thing is if you're working out of a shoebox,
yeah,
you know,
it doesn't look like you're doing quality work.
And you might get the same result as with a better Kate, or a better looking Kate. But seriously?
The curved Kates are really pretty, but I worry about breakage.
On the curved ones?
Yeah.
I haven't had a problem with them. I actually only use my curved Kate that came with my shack to wind bobbins off of.
Yeah, but you can't travel with it.
No, it's not really optimal
that's
for travel.
That's where it would break. If you tried to pack it up and travel with it, that I can just see it coming out in five pieces.
It could, but, you know, it's just one of those things where I prefer a non-tensioned Kate. I prefer to do the tensioning myself. Because when you have a tensioned Kate, if you have a thin bit mm-hmm. or an underspun bit, mm-hmm. it can break apart because you have the tension from the wheel yanking it in, mm-hmm. you have the tension from the Kate breaking, mm-hmm. and between the two sometimes it can snap them. Now granted, if you have a weak spot you should be cognizant of that and not just try and ply through it, mm-hmm. but it's not the best way of figuring out you've got a break. So that's why I prefer untensioned Kates, because I use the rake technique, as I like to call it. I learned this in one of Judith McKenzie's classes, and if you have access to take a class from Judith, I really recommend her comprehensive spinning class. I would take grout laying from Judith. Yeah, she's a great teacher. She teaches you how to work with your body and your wheel, which I think is really useful. She helps you show you how to like tweak your equipment mm-hmm. so that you're not fighting what you've got, and you're not changing your body, you're changing the equipment, which is optimal if you ask me.
She is amazing.
She is. And very engaging. So the rake technique, as I have termed it, I'm sure she has a much more elegant name for it, is you have one hand facing up like a rake upside down, and you have your other hand staggered across like a rake on top. And this is how you get optimal control of each ply, because this way you can pull out, because let's face it, I've been spinning for a long time and I still get bits of overspun stuff in my spinning. And the overspun stuff tends to present as like coils. Mm-hmm. And if coils are your intended effect, awesome. Mm-hmm. Ply them in as you normally would. But if you're looking for a smooth yarn, mm-hmm. pulling out those coils as you go is the way to go.
Right.
And when you have one strand between each finger when you're plying, you have so much more control. And it seems awkward at first, but I swear after the first couple of times you practice it, it gets so much easier. So that was that. We talked about tension kates. For a smooth finish on your yarn, I think it's really important to spin worsted. And we've talked about worsted and woolen, and I've directed you to Megan's episode where she talks about worsted spinning versus woolen spinning. But the whole thing is with when you're controlling the twist and you're not letting a whole lot of air in, you get really shiny, firm yarn. And that's a really – it makes for a durable garment. Now, granted, you may not want a smooth, hard finish on everything, but if that's what you're going for, like for socks, I really prefer to spin worsted because I find that they wear very well. And – I don't know. That's just – I'm a worsted spinner at heart, so really. I mean, I was in a class and Judith was talking about how some people are worsted spinners and some people are woolen spinners. And that's just how it goes. Now, I can spin woolen, but I'm more comfortable spinning worsted. So, yeah. Let's see. Oh, and if you want it to be smooth yarn, it's the good stuff in, good stuff out principle.
Yeah.
You can make a smooth wool more nipply, I guess. By adding texture, by doing like novelty spinning techniques. But if you have a yarn that is full of neps and short bits and all that stuff, you won't get a smooth yarn unless you pull it out, you know. If you want a smooth yarn, you start with top. And top is exactly what it sounds like. It's the best of the best. And that's and actually, top is, I think, combed. And you get the best stuff because the chaff and the short bits get caught up in the tines of the comb. And the good stuff gets pulled off as roving. So that's what I noticed when I was flicking. So this whole thing with Megan, this comes back to the lace gauntlet throwdown with Megan, where she was talking about having me process stuff and go through the whole thing more organically than I have been. And while I have decided that moving forward, I will be continuing to send my fleeces to Sherry, I will be taking, you know, about 4 ounces off of each fleece and hand processing 4 ounces of each fleece as opposed to a huge amount so that I can get an idea of what it's going to be when it comes back to me as roving.
No more stapled tool?
Less stapled tool.
Aye.
My poor mother. I'm the reason she has to dye all that gray hair. Just me. Each one of those gray hairs has a name.
And it's Jasmine. It's yes.
J-A-S-M-I-N. Just a, that's it. No E.
So, what kind of roving would you prefer for learning?
For learning?
Yeah.
If I was stranded on a desert island and I could only get one kind of roving, it would be Crown Mountain.
I was kind of asking what kind of sheep?
Yeah. I'm getting there.
Okay.
I'm getting there. If I could spin one thing and I could only spin one thing, it would be the Crown Mountain Superwash Merino. And here's why. It's beautifully prepared. It comes in excellent colors. If you don't like colors, it comes natural. And it just spins like a dream. It drafts easily. It looks great when it's done. It finishes nicely. And let me tell you, it washes and wears like nobody's business. If I could only spin one breed of sheep, it would probably be Cormo or Merino. I really like soft wools. I really like them crimpy, and I like them soft. I find them easy. When you have a crazy amount of staple length, like Romney or Wensleydale. And Wensleydale can be super long. You end up wrestling with it and fighting with it. Again, on the other side of it, if you end up with a staple length that's too short, you end up losing where you are, like spinning cotton or spinning cashmere or spinning bison or any of those things. So if you want to learn, learn with good stuff. I couldn't recommend it more. The Crown Mountain stuff is just phenomenal. And there are a lot of other good fibers out there that are really excellent and they're done well. Like, I really like the Lisa Souza Superwash Merino, but her stuff, the roving she uses is 4 inches wide, roughly. And the Crown Mountain stuff is maybe an inch in diameter in the, on the roving. So there are a lot of people who believe in pre-drafting. And if you're not a spinner or if you're a budding spinner, pre-drafting is where you take one big chunk of roving and you make it thinner so that you can just spin. So pencil roving would be, you know, a lot thinner than standard roving because you can basically just feed it through the wheel the way it is almost. So I don't believe in pre-drafting. I think if I've spent the money on a well-prepared roving, it shouldn't need pre-drafting. Felted rovings are a sign of like an amateur dyer, if you ask me. So... And it's no slam against amateur dyers. I buy from amateur dyers all the time, but it's a caveat that you have to deal with. So We've talked about smooth yarn. We've talked about tour de fleece. Oh, I should talk about what my tour de fleece stuff is going to turn into and what I'm actually plying for tour de fleece. So I waxed poetic about spinning Tallulah, lo those many months ago. Mm-hmm. I believe I got her back in April.
Yes.
Because I talked about knitting Mariah in May.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that didn't happen. So I finished spinning Tallulah, and I really enjoyed spinning her. And I did the swatches where I did 3-ply, 4-ply, and 5-ply. And, excuse me, I set them and I turned them up. Or mm-hmm. I set them, and then I put them away. Because I knit the first one up, which I thought was going to be perfect. But it ended up being too bulky, so five plies of Tallulah ended up being a worsted weight yarn.
Mm-hmm.
At 4.5 stitches to the inch on a size 6 needle.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, so yesterday while we had the barbecue, I knit up the 3-ply swatch and the 4-ply swatch.
Mm-hmm.
And those seem like they're going to get closer to gauge. So I'm going to measure them out and figure out what's going to get me closest to 22 stitches over 4 inches, which breaks down to 5.5 stitches per inch. So that's one part of it. The second part is I spun up the Redfish Dyeworks Silk and Merino. So it's 20% Tussa Silk, 80% Merino. And I spun it up at a lace weight, and I'm plying it up as just a lace yarn because I'm hoping to knit a beautiful lace shawl out of it. What did you think of it when I was plying it today?
It was very pretty.
I'm really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like warm sunshine.
To me, it looked like pumpkin.
We had a debate as to whether it was pumpkin or mango, but the consensus was it's orange. So having said that, I'm really enjoying plying that up. And the last thing I'm doing for Tour de Fleece is plying up my albatross. So last week I spun up 4 ounces of the Crown Mountain Superwash in albatross, which is black and gray and white bits. And it's got these like gold bits and green bits, but it's really subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Very masculine. So Andrew picked that one, and that's going to be socks for Andrew. So that's going to be the last thing I ply for Tour de Fleece. So that's good. Now, yesterday was the kickoff of Tour de Fleece,
mm-hmm.
and I was ready to start. We're outside on the patio. We had, I think, 4 spinning wheels going, 5 spinning wheels going, a lot of spinning wheels going on the patio. And I start plying, and I like to use my Woolly Winder for plying, and I'll talk about the Woolly Winder during the review, but it wasn't going. It was sticking. It wasn't drawing in. And it had this problem a couple months ago, and I asked Andrew to fix it, and then I didn't find the directions, so it didn't get fixed. And instead of doing during the training part of Tour de Fleece, because as we know, for any big function, you should train.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of making sure that my equipment was in competing condition,
mm-hmm.
I left it to fate, which left me with nothing, not being able to ply yesterday. So I picked up my Victoria while Andrew was working on my Woolly Winder, and I spun up another ounce of the Cormo. But my start to the competition was a little bit shaky, but I'm back on the path, and I'm very pleased with how it's going. So do join our team and post your progress on our Ravelry board.
And now, a review.
Or two. So I mentioned my Woolly Winder. And I wanted to talk about the Woolly Winders because on the Shacked board, there's been some debate as to whether or not they are worth the cost. I'm also going to be talking about the original spinning wheel cup holder. I was lucky. Let me talk about that one first because it's a little bit shorter. I think this thing is really, really clever.
Mm-hmm.
The one that for the Shacked is...
What is it?
It's exactly what it sounds like. Now, when I heard about it from somebody else, I thought it was a cup that held like your fiber. Oh, no. It is a cup for beverages. Now, I do a lot of spinning, and this is really clever in that you can, if you're at, for example, a patio party or a 4th of July barbecue, and you are spinning on the patio, you can have your drink of choice in your spinning wheel cup holder attached to your wheel. Now, this is good because it eliminates people bumping into tables and knocking things off tables, or in our case, we have nosy dogs that will sample your beverage if they can get away with it. And it's not exactly the best tasting thing when they're done with it, the least drool-free thing. So the spinning wheel cup holder keeps your stuff off the floor. It eliminates the need for, like, a TV tray or short tables, mm-hmm. and it keeps your drink within arm's reach, which is really clever. Now, mm-hmm. I think it's really well engineered for the most part. So, like I said, my girlfriend gave me one yesterday as a gift because she saw them and she thought they were so clever. They're actually made of lucite and they're shaped – and they're different for each wheel. So the one for the matchless sits on the part where that back whirl is.
Mm-hmm.
You unscrew the little screwy thing. You take the back whirl off and you slide it in over the screw. It doesn't actually interfere with anything on the wheel, which is really clever.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it's the same way with the other wheels. It might not necessarily sit on the back of the wheel, but it'll sit either off to the side or where it's unobtrusive. So that's really cool. The sides are nice and high, which is good if you're drinking a beer, a soda, something that's in like a glass. It's not so great for coffee. And because I drink enough coffee to support an entire small coffee-growing country,
mm-hmm.
I would like mine to be just a little bit shallower, but for spilling purposes and knocking purposes, it's actually the perfect height. Because yesterday, we had people running around the patio, we had dogs on the patio, we had lots of celebration happening,
mm-hmm.
and we did not have a single spilled drink.
No, we didn't.
So I think they're really clever. From what I understand, they're about $25, or at least this one was, which is a good price for something like this. But I have another small criticism in that because of the way the form factor is done,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't sit firmly as it is on the wheel. So you screw it in and you tighten that screw and it's still got some of that wiggle.
It's got a little bit of play.
It does have a little bit of play, but with a little bit of adhesive Velcro, the play is gone. So this morning, Andrew was fixing my Woolly Winder, and I'll talk about my Woolly Winder in a minute, but he noticed that there was play on the cup holder, and he pulled it off, and he took a look at it, and he went into his little box of tricks in the garage and pulled out stick-on Velcro. And I didn't have to say anything like, please don't put Velcro on my spinning wheel, because he knows better. Because I'm a bit of a snob and I don't like glue or glue residue.
Mm-hmm.
And he took the stick-on Velcro and he used the soft side, not the hooky side. He used mm-hmm. the eye side of the Velcro. And by the way, does anyone else love the magnified pictures of Velcro? I just think they're so cool. Have you seen like the extra magnetized or
no,
extra? You
not
haven't?
Yet. Send me a link.
I'll send you a link on the internet. I will also put one in the show notes just for you. So he used the soft side, and he put a strip of Velcro on either side of the cup holder
mm-hmm.
so that not only would it not scratch up my wheel, but it also no longer has any play. It sits firmly and put, and I'm so pleased. It was just, you know when you do that one tiny tweak and it makes all the difference?
Yep.
That's exactly what it was. So
that was minimal.
It was minimal.
And I really like the way it looks,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's totally functional.
It is.
Yeah, I really like it.
Considering how much we do as far as social spinning is concerned, I'm seriously considering getting one for my Victoria if she makes one. I haven't had a chance to look on her site, but from what I understand, she's doing them for a lot of makes and models of wheels.
I would love to have one for my sewing machine.
Oh, that'd be clever. Like your little stick-on light thing.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. So that's the cup holder. I will put a link to it in the show notes, and if you purchase one from her, please let her know you heard about it here. She didn't send it out to me to review, but I thought this is just too clever to not review.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to talk about is the Woolly Winder. So what is a Woolly Winder? A Woolly Winder is a flyer unit for your spinning wheel that it's a third-party product. The spinning wheel manufacturers don't actually make Woolly Winders for their wheels. The company that makes them is the Woolly Winder Company, I believe. And it's Nathan Lee, and it's him. And he's actually fantastic and very responsive, I've found, with my stuff. So the way this flyer unit is engineered is based on the principles of, like, a fishing rod.
Mm-hmm.
Or that little
fishing reel.
The fishing reel. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's how I described it. I made the noise.
Oh, that you did.
But basically, the mechanism, instead of being hooks that you move or slide
Manually,
it actually, with gears and stuff,
mm-hmm.
moves the hook up and down the bobbin so that your bobbin is more evenly filled.
Mm-hmm.
This is possibly the cleverest contraption I have ever laid eyes on. They're a little bit spendy. I think they're running $180 or $200 for the Woolly Winder and a bobbin, which, for example, for a shacked bobbin, a regular shacked bobbin is $35 now, $36.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not horribly overpriced. as far as the bobbins are concerned. But, you know, the flyer unit comes with one bobbin and you can order additional bobbins. And for, like, the shack, you have the regular speed bobbins and the high-speed bobbins.
Does it take regular shack bobbins?
No, but it has the end caps. The end caps are the same as the shacked bobbins. He's just changed them because they have gears and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that it fits with the Woolly Winder itself. Now, it comes with, like I said, the Woolly Winder, the bobbin, and a packet of instructions and a couple of little tools.
Mm-hmm.
These are super important. Don't lose them. Though if you do lose them, Nathan is super cool about sending you a second set. I might know this from personal experience, but I'll never admit it. So it's a kind of complex little thing.
Mm-hmm.
I handed it off to Andrew because he is my technical guy, and I was busy doing something else. Mm-hmm. And I said, would you be kind enough to figure out what the problem is? And if you can't figure it out, we'll ship it to Nathan to fix. Because mm-hmm. he has, I think, a 100% guarantee on these things.
Okay.
And I've heard nothing but glowing things about his work. Now, they mm-hmm. are a little bit spendy, but again, a flare unit for a shacked is going to cost you $115, $120. So you're adding a special mechanized unit, which is brilliantly engineered, if you ask me. So, you know, it makes up for the cost, I think. It's not something you have to have. This is not something that will make your spinning better or worse, but it will change your spinning experience. Now, I don't use mine to spin. I only use mine to ply. Partly because I use both of my hands when I ply.
Mm-hmm.
Other people like them to spin. I prefer my regular old bobbins. I like to stop. And, I mean, again, the upside is that you're not having to change hooks every so often. The downside is you're not stretching, you're not checking, you're sitting in one position just going. And that was also one of the complaints I had about the spinning wheel cup holder.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the fault of the cup holder, but we really should be getting up and stretching.
Yeah, but what I really like about the Woolly Winder is that you can keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And it winds beautifully and evenly, and you don't have the bumps.
The bumps, yes.
Yeah.
Well, the bumps actually represent missed space that you could have filled. So what I heard and the number I heard on the Woolly Winder bobbins, and this might not be 100% accurate, so please take this with a grain of salt, is that I think you can fill them 25 or 30% more than your average bobbin because you're not getting that missed space between the bumps.
Mm-hmm.
And that adds up really fast. So that's mainly why I like to ply with it because I can just go.
Yeah.
So Woolly Winders, I like, not necessary, but they're fabulous if you ask me. And they come with customer service that is pretty much unparalleled. It's,
mm-hmm.
I really like getting good customer service, and I did. The website's a little bit old school, but, you know, who needs flash when you've got substance, right?
It's really good. It's a really good tool.
It is. And the whole thing is I wouldn't buy a Woolly Winder for a wheel that you're not committing to because it is a bit of an investment. I know other wheels. So I only have one for my matchless because I only need one for my matchless. I don't do a whole lot of plying on my big shacked Reeves, and I don't do a whole lot of plying on the Louette because my shacked is really my go-to wheel. So
mm-hmm.
make sure that you're choosing the right wheel. If you have the opportunity to try one, I would really recommend playing with one because it really is a very different experience. And if you buy one and you don't like it, I believe Nathan will give you your money back. So there you go. Woolly Winder, thumbs up. Cup holder, thumbs up. This week we'd like to thank show sponsors Pearlescence Yarns, our supporters, and most importantly, you, our listeners. Everything we've talked about this week can be found at the show notes, which are located at knitmoregirls.blogspot.com, and you can send your comments, questions, feedback, or, you know, whatever, to us at knitmoregirls@yahoo.com. Remember to eat your Wheaties and join Team Spin War! Remember, this is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.